If you would, let's go to Genesis chapter 41. I named this right here, Don't Be a Gloat. Now, I changed it from Don't Be a Goat to Don't Be a Gloat. And so we may get there. We should. One of the scriptures came from one of the daily delights that we were reading this week and talking about not gloating over your enemies or gloating over those and saying, Nanny, Nanny, Boo Boo. So anyway, we'll get there. We talked about last week, if you remember, envy and jealousy, and a lot of good feedback from that. Sometimes we don't really realize that maybe we are that person. Maybe we are somebody who might be envious and you don't really notice that you are, especially in a job situation or anything like that where you would say, I deserve this position, I deserve this. There's a lot of I deserves. But then we have to realize and recognize that what is the Father's will in my life? I will tell you this, Mark mentioned something just as he was up here sharing. Me pastoring here, y'all know the story that whenever I was 16, I was electrocuted. So you know also, Jeremiah, our praise worship leader, a little over a year ago, was electrocuted. And to see that if the Father has a plan for you in your life, He will see to it. Amen? And so, but I guess you can also say, whoever's next in line, once you're electrocuted, we'll know who you are. Amen? So, negative, that's right, a big negative. Amen? So that's not the test to be up here. But the thing is you see what Moses has gone through, and you can see, you know, you can really see the hand of the Father that really and truly, when He calls you to do something, He will see to it. And Joseph's story is part of this story, but at the same time, remember we were talking about last week, whenever Joseph is sold into slavery, the brothers go home, they lie to their father, the father has been mourning for years, and I think that somewhere between the time of Joseph being sold into slavery and him going into, well, when he meets his brothers again, is like 22 years, give or take a few years. So there's a long period of time that Joseph has been in prison a couple of times. He's gone through a lot of hardships. So you could definitely see that whenever he meets his brothers again, what kind of attitude is he going to have towards his brothers? Especially when you're like Pharaoh. And you have the power to take life and the power to give life or spare life. And you can just think about it, that whenever you get in a position to wherever you can do that, if you're a supervisor or whatever you may be in whatever job, whatever, a father, a mother, then when you have a child, you have power and authority over that. What are we going to do? How are we going to raise that child to be a godly seed? We have responsibilities in our life, and we will be held accountable for that. Understanding for nobody to be under condemnation. A lot of people in their life got saved way later after they've had their children and their children is moved on. Whether their children are doing righteous or not, that's just where you were at in your life. So there's no condemnation. The Father still knows all things. If He can take Joseph from a situation at 17 years old and bring him to a place to where he's ruler over Egypt and is going to spare his brothers, if you can take a situation where you can put Moshe in a water basket, in a basket, and throw him in a Nile River that's out of its banks, it's got all the critters and alligators and everything in it, and know that he will be raised in the Pharaoh's house until the time that he becomes the deliverer, you just have to know and understand that in your life, wherever you're at, the key is finding Yeshua as your Savior first and getting in a relationship with Him and then trusting that the Father, like when we're praying for these young ones, there's not only, there in this treasure chest up here are our family members and other family members and people that we probably don't even know. There's orphans and widows in there. There's a lot of grown-ups in there that are still sons and daughters. And we still, as long as there's breath in their lungs, there's still hope. Amen? And that's what this great hope is all about. But we have a life to lead, and we have a life to live in, and in our actions and reactions are paramount to how life. We were talking last night, you know, Steve and myself was talking about last night with one of the grandchildren. It's like this, reminding them that there is life. I mean, there's power of life and death in what? The power of the tongue. There's, so you speak positive. You, it's not where you're trying to confess something when there's, but you speak life to your body. You speak life because life comes from this tongue. It's very, very important. Okay, now, we're setting the scene. We went from envy and jealousy. Now we're going into recognize and repent. It is part of not only understanding when somebody's wronged you, when somebody asks for forgiveness, are we at a place to where we can forgive? Or, because when we were at that place, when we realized we were wrong, and we definitely hurt somebody, whenever we ask them to forgive us, you want them to forgive you, amen? So it's on both sides of the coin. I always say it like this. If you take a quarter, there's a heads and a tails. And usually when you say heads and tails, you don't think it's still a quarter. You think it's one or the other. It's still a quarter. Amen? But both sides, whether you're on the envy side or you're on the forgiveness side, it's both the same. It both works together because you're talking about people. All right, Joseph, at this point, I want to read Genesis 41, 51, and 52. I don't have it on the board, but... And it said this, Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, we say Manasseh sometimes, Manasseh, for he said, what? Elohim has made me forget all of my hardship, and what else? And all of my father's house. He was at a place in his life where he says, you know, this is, I'm done. Now think about this just for a moment. A lot of times we can say, okay, I understand what my brothers did. My brothers did wrong. But what did my father, what did he have to do to play into this thing? Because it was daddy that sent me to the brothers. If you remember right before the story, Joseph had a dream. And his brothers loved it. No, his brothers hated him for that dream. But then Joseph had another dream. But yet his father, after that dream, rebuked him. So now you've got the whole family members rebuking Joseph for these two dreams. But yet it said, but Jacob kept that dream in his mind. But Joseph didn't know that. He didn't come by here and say, son, you know, good dream. He didn't do that. He didn't know. So when daddy sends him off to be with the brothers and go check on your brothers, and then all this happens, Joseph is probably thinking while he's in slavery, because he's in slavery for the first part of his life, why hadn't daddy tried to find me? Who is he not sent to find me? I've been here. Has he not found me? So you could see what's going on, because Joseph is still 17, 18. He's a young man. So what's going on in our life? So this is the thing, is in our life is this. Is that you got to realize that Joseph don't really know, where does daddy stand in this thing? I know how the brothers feel, but I don't know. But evidently with this scripture, he's showing, you know what? I'm done. I'm now moving on with my life. I no longer, mom and dad and all of that has no place in my life. This is sort of like when he names this child that, and then he says this, and then he says 52, because he named the first one because he wanted to forget all of his hardship in his father's household. 52, he said he named the second one, he called Ephraim, for Elohim has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. So now he's now saying, you know what? I have moved on. The Father, this is where he wants me. What's behind me doesn't matter. Now I will move on with my life, and me and my family will start over. This is his mindset before the brothers show back up. All right, now let's go to 42. Genesis 42, verse 4. Then Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. For thus the sons of Israel came to buy among the others who came for the famine in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph, who was governor of the land, he was the one who sold all the people. He sold to all the people of the land, excuse me. Then Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Now this is now, after 22 and some odd years, now Joseph is now having his brothers come to him after he has moved on and he's forgot everything. Then it says this, Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them. But he treated them like strangers and he spoke roughly to them. Wonder if he didn't just kill him. You know what I'm saying? But he spoke roughly to him. Where do you come from? He said. And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then at this moment, Yahweh had to intervene. Because if he wouldn't have intervened at this moment, there's no telling what Joseph might have done. Because I'm just telling you, and we said this last week, if somebody sells you into slavery, you're probably not going to be a happy camper. Especially to see them and think that you're just going to have a happy family reunion. Because he went through some tough times. Life is good right now for Joseph. But even Joseph knowing, think about this. Even Joseph knowing that life is good at this moment, when he was sold into slavery, life was good in Potiphar's house. And then all of a sudden, he was wrongly accused in a moment. Knowing that he, and if you know the story, he was in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. In other words, he says, Potiphar has not withheld anything from me. And Joseph is a Hebrew slave. Potiphar recognized the blessings of his Elohim on him to give him that authority. That's great authority, guys, is what I'm trying to paint the picture. And then in a moment, life is good. In a moment, he's back in jail. He's in jail now and he's in prison. The father's using him in prison. And then he says, please, whenever you go back to Pharaoh, let him know what I've done. 2 years pass. Until finally Pharaoh has this dream, and then the cupbearer says, oh, you know what? There's a guy in prison. He's pretty good at interpreting dreams. You could see, so you can imagine all of this he had a coat of many colors. He was Papa's pet. And you go up and down in their life to where now he's back in this position to where he has power. But knowing also, at one drop of a hat, something can happen. He may be back in prison again or executed. But the father had to do something to him because he recognized the brothers. They did recognize him. And it says, Joseph remembered the dreams. And this is paramount in Joseph's life. And that he had dreamed of them. And he said to them, you are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. In other words, you've come out here to see where there's weaknesses in this land that you can come and take it. And they said to him, no, my master, your servants have come to buy food. Now, listen at this. We are all sons of one man. Is that a true statement? Yes. We are honest men. That ain't a true statement. Now, they don't know who they're talking to. They're talking to Joseph. There's a truth, but there is a big untruth. There's a big lie. We are honest men. I put, what? Maybe that should have been in the scriptures. What? You know, your servants have never been spies, which that could be a true statement, but we are honest men. Now, whenever Joseph is recognizing them, a flood of emotions is coming to him, and then they're telling him without them knowing, you still hadn't learned your lesson. What did you tell Dad? What did you tell Jacob? How did you explain me away? Lie, you know, because you're thinking about, is Dad not mad what you've done? You didn't own up to it? Was he a part of it? You can imagine all of these emotions going around in Joseph at this time. Let's jump down to verse 17. It says, then he put them all together into custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, he let them sweat it out a little bit. That's good. Do this and you will live, for I fear Elohim. If he's using their own words against them. They're the one that popped off and said, we're honest men. I mean, they could have turned around and spilt the beans on some things, but they didn't. They kept the beans in the can for a little while. It says, if you're honest men, then let one of your brothers remain confined where you are in custody, and let the rest go and carry grain for the famine of your households. In verse 20 it says, and bring your youngest brother to me. So your words will be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. Verse 21. Then they said to one another, in truth, finally the truth comes out. It's amazing sometimes if we would just tell the truth to start with, how easy it would be. But we cover up and we do, we move, we shape, we dodge. You know what I'm saying? We go through this whole thing until finally, because you already know that the boys didn't go with Benjamin the first time because Jacob said, I'm not sending Benjamin because I've only got one, and I'm going to fear what happened to Joseph is going to happen to him, and I'm not going to have anybody. And so all of you go, and you go do your thing. And then y'all go, and you come to this place, but at least now, finally, whenever there's a lot of pressure and there's nothing else you can do, because they're caught now, guys. One's going to stay. The rest of them's going to go, and their words trap them because they were honest men. Then it says this, but they said to one another, in truth, we are guilty concerning our brother. Which brother? Joseph. In that we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us, and we would not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us. Revelation. Bing. And you know what? It's called reaping what you sowed. There is a reckoning day. Verse 22. And Reuben answered them, did I not tell you not to sin against the boy? Remember what we said last week? Reuben, you should have stood up whenever they started plotting when he was afar off. But what you done was, is you did not, because you hated the boy just as much as they did. But Reuben, I feared what happened was, is he hated his place with his daddy more than he hated the boy. In other words, he didn't want to lose that place of firstborn, because he was the one that was going to be in charge of everything when daddy dies. That's just the way it comes out in their land. But now all of a sudden, Reuben is sitting here saying, he's not taking full, did I not tell you not to sin against the boy? He's shifting right here. But you did not listen. Well, guess what, Reuben? You were secretly going to try to protect him. You didn't come out and say, so he's still not taking the blame. So now there comes a reckoning for his blood. Verse 23. They did not know that Joseph understood them, for there was an interpreter between them. All right, let's go to chapter 44. What's happening here as you're going to 44 is they go back home, one stays, and they go back home and they tell daddy, this is what's got to happen. We got to take Benjamin to go get our other brother. He says, too bad. Benjamin ain't going. And then they get to a place to where finally they're starting to run out of food. And then Jacob says, you need to take the money and all of this and go back. And they said, we told you we can't do that unless, because the man told us, don't come back, because we're honest men. Don't come back unless Benjamin is with us. And then Jacob says, why did you open your big fat mouth and tell him that there was another brother? Well, he asked about you and the family. He wanted to know about the family tree. So, well, why did you have to tell him? Why didn't you leave that branch off the tree? You know, so he's going back and forth because they're lie goes to lie goes to the... Joseph knows enough to ask to do whatever, so he backed him in a corner to where they had to tell him, but they would tell him anyway because guess what? They don't know that he's to know of anything. So anyway, so we're here. We're already back. Benjamin goes. Now, they have a good time. They have a meal. He's excited. He sees them, but he's letting them go back to Canaan. But he said this, he says, we're going to take my cup and we're going to put it in Benjamin's sack. And when he does this, then whoever's the sack that they find it in, he's going to be my servant and the rest can go home. So all of this is taking place up until where we're at now. So we're after the sack deal, okay? Verse 14 of 44, it says, when Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, it says he was still there. They fell before him to the ground. Joseph said to them, what deed is this if you've done? Do you not know that a man like me can indeed practice divination? And Judah, who was the one that ended up wanting to sell him? Remember? Judah was. So now Judah said, what shall we say to my master? shall I, or what shall we speak? Or how can we clear ourselves? Elohim, now the truth is really starting to come out. Elohim has found out the guilt of your servants. Well, first, you were honest men. Are you hiding something? So now Elohim has found out the guilt. Elohim always knew the guilt. But they held this for over 22 years. Can you imagine? This happens today in people's lives. Things happen and they bury things for long, long times. This is why the Father, I believe, gives us these feasts and these festivals, Passover, and during this month of Elul, this 6 month is coming up before Sukkot, is to give us an opportunity to allow these things to resurface in our life that we've not dealt with. If there's sins that's not been repented of, we hold those sins. And we have to answer for those sins. And it says what? The wage of sin is what? Death. It brings death to our bodies. Not only spiritually, but physically. Sometimes it may be something that's unrepented that will finally unlock something in our life to where we can have freedom in our health. To where we're not oppressed or depressed or possessed. Amen? So it says, Elohim has found out the guilt of our servants. Behold, we are my master's servants. We, he's talking about all of us. Both we and he also in whom the cup has been found. Then Joseph is really testing their hearts. And Joseph said, far be it from me that I should do so. Only the man in whom the hand, the cup was found, shall be my servant. But as for you, go up in peace to your father. In other words, you know, I don't have a grief with you. You're honest men. It's that sorry brother that came with you that didn't come last. He's not honest. He never said he's the thief. But you know what? You go in peace and have a great life with your father. This is what he's saying. He gave this opportunity to Judah and all the brothers. And you know what? They could have done it. I mean, they already concocted a story about Joseph being killed. They could have said, you know what? The man didn't like your son because of whatever. He could have killed him. There wasn't nothing else we could do. They could have, but you see what happens is in this story, there is a heart change. And not only one of the brothers, but all of the brothers. There's something about when we confess, when we're wrong, there's something about a shalom, there's something about a joy, there's a transformation happening in these brothers in their lives. Because if you read the story before, and I know you have through the Torah portions, Reuben even asked him at the very first, whenever Benjamin was to go, we don't come back, you can kill my two sons. I'm like, I'm sure the sons really thought that was a good idea. Can you imagine? Oh, yeah. You know, I could just say, you know, David, you just leave and say, well, if it don't happen, just kill Casey. You know, Casey, oh, thank you very much, Dad. You know, I got a life too. But you can imagine how these stories are going in people like, thanks. But yet he's giving them an opportunity now. You sold me into slavery. Giving you an opportunity to see what you're going to do about Benjamin. Because guess what? Benjamin is not part of your family either, the way you look at it, because he's very loved like I was. So what verse am I at? Verse 18. Then Judah went up to him and said, oh, my master, please let your servant speak a word in my master's ears. And let not your anger burn against your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. All right, let's go to chapter 45, verse 1. When he goes, because what he's done from 18 all the way to the rest, he is now telling the story about Jacob. If we don't come back with the boy, he's going to die. And he goes and he tells him this story. And by telling this story, Joseph really now understands that the guy's definitely changed. And it says, then Joseph could not control himself after he heard Judah speak to him. Behold, all of those who stood by him, he cried, and make everyone go out from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, so the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Now, guys, that's a pretty loud cry. That is a loud, bellowing, wailing cry that it went through all the halls to where even Pharaoh himself got wind of it. Verse 3 says this, "And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers all fell over dead with a heart attack. That's what I thought it was going to say. Because think, now, not only have we been playing this games of charades, and we've been doing it to Joseph, who we sold, and he's probably mad a little bit. You think? And all of a sudden, Joseph cries out aloud, and they don't know, and then he's just saying, "I am your brother, Joseph." Can you imagine? Do they run? Do they fall? What do they do? Faint? What do they do? You can put yourself in their situations. And he says, "Is my father still alive?" The brothers could not answer him. Definitely could not answer him. And guys, I just want to say this. When we meet Yeshua, that's the way it'll be. Because when you meet Yeshua himself, all you're going to want to do is listen. Because what can you tell him that he don't already know? And so you better make sure that there's a lot of things already repented of. Because he's going to tell you those too, if they're not repented of. If they're repented of, they're blotted out. That's the beautiful thing. So his brothers stood there. They could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." What are they going to do? Oh, no. So they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold to Egypt." Now they know who he is when he spilt that bean. "And now do not be distressed or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for Elohim sent me before you to preserve life." See, Joseph now is really to the place now. He's really recognizing the bigger picture, what the bigger picture is. "For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. Elohim sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth and to keep alive for you many survivors." Verse 8, it says, So it was not you who sent me here, but Elohim. Now that's a true statement. But yet he's not. Joseph, what he's saying in this statement is this, that Joseph is recognizing Yahweh's plan, but it still does not right wrongs. The boys still had to repent for their part in what they played because their heart was that they hated him. Remember, we've talked about envy, deceit, murder. And Yeshua said, whenever you hate somebody in your heart, you're what? You're a murderer. So they still had to come to their place of righting the wrongs. He's not forgiving that. He's just letting them know Yahweh's plan was this. And it says, "And he made me a father to Pharaoh and a master to all his house and ruler over all the lands of Egypt." Okay, let's go to Matthew 6. What I'm wanting to do in this particular teaching today is this. And guys, this is hard. I'm not sitting up here telling you this is an easy thing to do. But this is something that we have to do. We have to forgive those who wrong us if they ask for forgiveness. And the best way to do it is to already have forgiveness in your heart before they ask. Because if you don't get yourself in that place, when they do ask, you probably won't. And then you're going to end up holding that. In Matthew 6, this is in the Lord's Prayer, as we always called it. In verse 12, it says, "Forgive us our debts." And the ESV says it like this, "as we also have forgiven our debtors." In other words, I have areas in my life I need forgiven. So who am I not to forgive? And this is the thing, you have to forgive first a lot of times before you can go and ask forgiveness so you can receive it. It's a mindset to where we have to put our effort out first. So he's saying that Forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. There's a lot of parables, there's a lot of scriptures that tie into this, and I don't have the time to go in them. I think you understand what I'm saying. It is a miracle. When I said, how would you feel when how would you feel after he met his brothers? Guys, I'm not Joseph, but I've been in Joseph's situations. And sometimes I've been his brothers. Everybody in here in your life have been his brothers, or you've been on Joseph's side. You've been both ways in your life with people, whether it's family members or whether it's in the workplace or whatever that's happened. This is what the Father is trying to do for us during these times and seasons, is to make sure that we are all in right standing with the Father, and that we don't come up here at Yom Kippur all dressed in white when we're really not white. There's times during this month where we can really dig deep inside. Father, show me. If we ask the Father to show us, guys, he's going to show us, because that's what he's in the business of doing. He wants his light to shine bright in us to be able to. There's a lost and dying world out there. There's a lot of confused people. Religion is killing people. Religion is killing the masses of people. People are out there crying. They don't know what they believe anymore. All you got to do is get a crowd together. And once you get the crowd together, then you get up on a soapbox and start hollering. They'll start screaming with you. Hey, what are you screaming about? I don't know. I'm just screaming. You know, Antifa, Antifa. You know, whatever you're going to get out, you start screaming. A lot of people don't know. We need to know. We need to be a strong voice. This word needs to be in us so much, because so many times it needs to be, it is written. When somebody asks you to question, it needs to be, it is written. We need to give them a righteous answer. There's just a lot of hurting people. But if we're locked up in unforgiveness, we're in trouble. If we're locked up in envy and jealousy, we need to repent. But at the same time, if somebody's come and hurt us, we need to be at a place to, whenever somebody's ready to ask for that forgiveness, we need to be able to forgive them and free them up. They need freedom just like we need freedom. Amen. Romans 12, 17. If y'all would, you go ahead to 1 Peter 3. And because Romans 12, 17 and 1 Thessalonians, it's just one scripture each, says the same thing, so you don't have to keep flipping. Romans says this: repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Paul is telling them, also in Thessalonians, it says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. And this is a story here. Joseph, if anybody, could have repaid evil for evil, but he didn't. Because he recognized the higher plan of the Father, that the Father had him sent through all of the misery that he went through. How many times have we said this? We're in training for reigning. If you're in training for reigning, guess what, guys? You got to go through hard times sometimes to be able to recognize how to make righteous, good judgments. If you've got a silver spoon in your mouth, you can't make righteous and good judgments. Sometimes we have to be a base. Sometimes we have to have ourselves put in a position to where we can relate to those who are hurting. You know, I said this before, I've had back issues. I can relate to Kyle when he had back issues. Amen? And I can relate to his family in the time of his healing. Whenever you go down, the thing about it is while you're down there, pray for those that's got the same problem. Pray for those that's got the same problem in that time, because now you can relate. But then when the Father delivers us out, Merle is on my heart, because I just dealt with my mom. My mom was 93 and a half years old. She just passed away just this last January. But that was one thing that my mom was all just check on me. And I said, well, you call me too. So we checked on it. We called each other. And we go, and the thing is because when you get to a place that they know that their days are at the end, because you don't really know. But I mean, I'm like my mom, when she was 93, I mean, for her to have another 20 years is probably not likely. or she would be in 100 and something. You see what I mean? So once you start getting to a certain place, that happens to us. And it is a fear that happens to us. You know what I'm saying? And it's real. But when you're young and you're in your under your 20s and all of that, it glosses over you because you got all your life and everything ahead of you. But this is why you young ones, when you have your grandparents, you need to love on them, you need to visit them. Because one day when they get to that place, you know, when they're by themselves, like Merle, when his family is all up in Texas and he's there by himself, it's real in his life. And I will tell you, you know Merle. Most of y'all know Merle. Merle is a prayer. This guy prays for you every day. Every day he prays for you guys. Never forgets to pray for you guys. All of them that he knows. So the thing about it is for us, we need to be in a place to where at any moment people can change and we don't need to ever harbor an unforgiving heart towards somebody else. 1 Peter 3:9 says this, same thing. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now I want to say something here. I wrote this down. These three scriptures here that says, don't repay evil for evil. It doesn't say overlook evil. It doesn't say fellowship evil. And it doesn't say agree with evil. You understand what I'm saying? Sin is sin and evil is evil. But Romans 12:19 says this, and I didn't write it up here on the board. But it says this, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of Elohim. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says Yahweh. This is what we have to do. But we're not to fellowship evil. And I have to always be very clear that, you know, sometimes we can have, if we're a mercy, we can end up getting involved in something we're not supposed to. The thing about it is you can always, because what is the scripture? It says, if you know that your brother has aught with you, go to him. If you go to him and he says, get out of my face, you've done your part. Now, let the Father handle it. Don't go get your AK and try to handle it, okay? Let him handle it, and he will. Okay, the last verse we're going to go to is Obadiah, chapter 1. Because what we've been talking about also in this, and this is really where I wanted to get to. That's why I said, don't be a gloat. Okay? I was wondering how many people was going to sit here and say, I think you misspelled goat. But if you're a gloat, you'll turn into a goat. That's what this is about. Verse 12, it says, do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of what? His misfortunes. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of their distress. Guys, can I just be honest here? You have to work on this. Because sometimes when people get what they deserve, you sort of feel good. You sort of feel vindicated sometimes. But this is what he's trying to say. Not to say that you may not, but the thing is there's a difference of gloating and getting up and dancing on the guy's grave. You know what I'm saying? Gloating and just pouring yourself. He's saying, don't do that. Vengeance belongs to him, not us. He will take care, but he's also, this is a mindset. Because these people, when it says, do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of his misfortune, well, guess what? If he repents and goes through everything, Yahweh may reinstate him. And then how are you going to feel? Now you got the problem. Because now bitterness and everything is going to set up in your life and it's going to rot your bones. The thing about it is, it should be that if brother repents and he's restored, we should rejoice because he's found favor with the Father. We should be in right standing and our brother is. But can we rejoice with our brother when he's restored? If you're a gloater, it won't happen that way. And it says, and do not boast in the day of his distress. Verse 13, do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. And do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. So you're seeing here that in these principles that the Father is telling us, that guys, we are people. Y'all know we're people? And we are people that make mistakes. In this time that we'll have Rosh Kodesh tonight, we'll start with Elul. We had these two teachings really to kick this off. If we're envious, if we're jealous, if we have any of the fruits of the flesh operating in our life, we need to search it out and correct it. But at the same time, if we're on the other side of the coin, if we're a Joseph and somebody has misused us, sold us into slavery, abused us, and all of the above, we need to pray for those, that the Father would bring conviction on them, that they can find a place of repentance. And then when they repent, then we need to learn to rejoice with those and not gloat over them and try to keep them down. Because all it's going to do is it's just going to cause bitterness in our own life. And like I said before, I know it's not easy when you've been harmed or hurt in a bad way. People's been abused in a bad way. But I have seen over and over and over when people can't release because they have allowed bitterness to set up in their life. And guys, trust me, bitterness don't just affect you. Bitterness affects everybody around you. So we need to be free. People need to be free. There's no reason for us to live the rest of our life. You only get one shot at this. I'm 60 years old, so I don't have another. I got another 60 years because I'm going for 120. But the thing is, if Moses went to 120, I'm going to try to do what Moses did. But the thing is life, you got one shot at this. I want to be happy. I want to have joy. I want to enjoy everything and everybody. I want to enjoy my grandkids and their grandkids and all of that. That's living a long time. That's what I want to do. But don't allow something that happens to you cause bitterness to set up in you, because then you will be unhappy the rest of your life and it will eat you alive. It will eat you alive. Let the Father deal. And you know what? The Father knows mine and your heart. He knows if I'm a gloater or not. And you know what? If I would release somebody that I have an issue with, if I would release them and say, Father, you know their heart. You know my brothers. You know what they did. You deal with it. But spare them and bring them back into relationship with you. If we can have that prayer and then back up out of the way, and let Father know, do what he knows to do, you will set loose something in the heavens that will come down and start circumstance and working on these people. And you know what? I believe that they can change. And I believe that they can repent. But as long as we have that spirit, you know what? We can bind a process by not being forgiving. So in these two teachings, we've been on both sides. I just want us to be free people. I want us to be able to love one another and, I mean, honestly, love one another and just free up everybody to where we can enjoy life. Because I'm telling you guys, life is way too short. Amen.